analyst and former coach Jeff Van Gundy joining me, Jason Ross here. Jeff, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for taking some time to join us today. And I want to start with the exciting news that's going on here in Sacramento. I know you know Brendan Malone and Mike Malone. We're all pretty excited here about the hiring of Mike Malone. What can you tell us about him and what kind of coach we can expect?
Well, Michael is, is a young coach, but he's a very highly experienced coach. He's worked for multiple people in his time in the NBA. He's tough, and he's dedicated, and he's dependable, and he's reliable, and he's very, very competent when you're talking about X and O's, strategy, things like that. So I think his background is, some people, when you hire a guy who's not been a head coach before, they try to label him inexperienced. I think Michael is extremely experienced with many different coaches that he's going to draw from, but he's strong enough in his own beliefs that he's going to have a philosophy that's not just borrowed from others, but that he truly believes in.
Yeah, and everybody's had to do it yourself included, from being, an assistant until you make that move, and it's a big move to become a head coach. What would you say it will be the biggest challenges for him to be the guy calling the shots as a first-time head coach?
Well, I think so much of leadership is who you lead, not how you lead. So I don't think the differences will be so stark with what he's got to do. I think the bigger question is, does this roster want to be led? Do the best players on their team crave coaching and truly want to win, or are they just talking the talk but really want to continue on the path that they've set for themselves already? I mean, to me, this has very little to do with what people's got to learn, and more so it's got to be what their players are willing to do differently now, because how they're going about it from a playing standpoint has not worked, will not work, and cannot work. And so Michael has to lead, and he will, by setting the right example with work ethic, teamness, unselfish, being all about the group. But the players have to voluntarily cooperate and want to get better, or whoever comes in there needs to make changes and cannot stay stubborn and keep saying that these guys have talent. One of the great talents in the NBA is to be coachable. Another great talent is to fulfill your role. Another talent is to do your job on every possession. And I think anyone who's watched Sacramento Kings basketball can easily say that they're missing those components.
I think that's well said, because it's not really, I like how you said that. It's not how you lead, it's who you lead. And if we look at that, I mean, as of today, Jeff, present roster, the best player is DeMarcus Cousins, but handling him seems to be the biggest challenge that he will have in this new regime, because he hasn't fit into that criteria that you said as being ultimately coachable. So how do you break through there with a guy that is talented but hasn't really fit in quite yet the way all the other coaches have wanted him to?
Well, talent has to translate into efficient production. Talent by itself is of no great value. The great players in our league take their unique athletic talent, and it translates into great play, consistent play. And you look at Tim Duncan, LeBron James, the guys, Paul George has made that leap. Roy Hibbert has improved where he's now a great player. So DeMarcus Cousins got to want to harness his talent into more efficient play. He doesn't shoot a high enough field goal percentage for being as talented as he is. He's a turnover-prone player. He's not the same guy every day. You never know exactly what he's going to bring either to practice or games. And so I think, it's hard to be the best player on a really good team. It's easy to be the best player on a bad team. And to me, I think Michael is so very good at what he does. And it comes down to this. Will DeMarcus Cousins and others decide, hey, we want to be coached. tell us what we need to do and lead us, and we will follow. Because to me, it's so very important that these guys recognize the error of their ways.
Talking with Jeff Van Gundy, of course, current analyst. He'll be doing the finals, also former coach. Brendan Malone, we're hearing reports that he may come here as his son Mike gets the job, and Brendan may be along for the ride as well. Obviously a well-respected guy as well. You know him. What kind of impact do you think he will have as well?
Well, I've had the great fortune to have known Brendan since I was in high school, and he was an assistant at Syracuse University. And I played for him at five-star basketball camp way back. And even though I wasn't a real good player, he was so good to people who wanted to enter the business of coaching. And he helped me get into Yale University. And even though I didn't get to play there like I had wanted to, because he had been an assistant there, he worked for me to try to help me, even though it was not going to have any payoff for him. And then I interviewed with Brendan with Rhode Island. I didn't get it. And then I worked with Brendan as an assistant with the Knicks. And I can tell you this, if Brendan decides to go forward and join Michael in Sacramento, that you're getting a brilliant basketball mind who is a very deep thinker about many issues. He'll talk baseball all day. He'll talk politics. He'll talk anything. And he's a tremendous, tremendous basketball coach and is a great resource and has been a great resource for a number of coaches in this league. And so if that's the way that they decide to do it, man, Sacramento's hit a home run, first with Michael as a head coach and then Brendan as somebody who Michael can draw on from all of his vast experiences in the NBA.
That's exciting. As we're talking with Jeff Van Gundy, and you know, just following Michael's track record, it seems like an area where he's cut his teeth here and kind of gotten more credit is his defensive ability. Jeff, this team, you know it, has just not been good defensively for a while. How quickly of an impact do you think he can make on, you know, with this roster now defensively to get this team better?
Well, I think all the really good coaches in this league aren't offensive coaches or defensive coaches. They're complete coaches. And I think that's how I view Michael, is he's a complete coach who has a very good understanding of what wins in this league and what loses. Balance wins, too heavy of an emphasis on either side of the ball, will not win at the highest level. So he understands that all the great defensive teams go far. If you're an elite defensive team, you're going to be a playoff team at the very least. And so you ask me, what impact can he have? Oh, the plan will be solid. Mm-hmm. The scheme will be on target. And this guy can coach basketball. So when I sit there, if I was a King fan and I was sitting there with my list of concerns, you can X off any concern about coach, scheme, use of talent. But if the best players don't say, hey, we want a guard. Hey, we're in. Just tell us, how do you want me to play the pick and roll? I'm going to give you my full out effort. How do you want to play the catch and shoot? How do you want to play the wing isolation? Yeah, we'll get back in transition versus dog trot and give up uncontested layups. If they're willing to do that, listen, Sacramento can make a jump next year. They can make a jump. They can start putting that, you know, getting to that 40-win mark again or closing in on that. But it's going to be dependent so much on their attitude and their consistency, things that, frankly, have eluded them.
We're talking with Jeff Van Gundy here, giving us some great insight on the Malone family. Certainly Michael Malone, the newest hire, and a lot of moves, a lot of exciting time with new ownership, new GM will be coming in place, new coach obviously coming in. So very exciting times here, and we're all ready for it to get better. I want to ask you, too, about obviously you're getting ready to call the finals. One of the big issues that's going on, flopping. I know you've talked a lot about it, Miami and Indiana getting some fines the other day, and Jeff, it doesn't seem like that's going to do much to either. I mean, the league seems to care, but do they care enough to really get this out of the league? Because it still seems to show up on a nightly basis here in the postseason.
You know, I have a question for you. Do you remember Michael Jordan ever flopping?
I don't, personally.
I don't either. I don't. So why are our great players trending toward doing that now? Why are they predisposed to trying to trick an official versus just go about the game and honorably play to the best of their ability, and you win with honor, you lose with honor, and you move on? Why is it and how is it that all this deceiving has become an accepted skill in our league? I hear where if you can get away with it, then that's great. So if I could get away with a dirty play, that's great too. I mean, to me, I thought the initial rule could have been enforced more in the regular season. I think they just took the most egregious ones, but I thought it had a big impact. I don't think you saw it as much in the regular season as in past years. In the playoffs, it's been a total fiasco. A, it's not been enforced as vigilantly as it has needed to be. And second, the penalties are far too lenient. Listen, when you have a guy like Tony Allen fake a head injury to embellish a foul call, to get a flagrant foul, that could have changed the game, the series, and ultimately the entire competition based on faking a head injury, which to me isn't funny because there are, you know, it's so outrageous. Listen, I think they have to move towards this idea of a penalty box. Like, I see that happen. A fine's not enough. He's suspended for the first 6 minutes, the first quarter, the first half, the first three quarters. Or if it gets too egregious, give him a whole game. Because until they see it as more detrimental to try to flop to themselves and their team versus still advantageous despite the small puny fines, you're going to have these guys who try to trick people.
Yeah.
And the game is hard enough to officiate on its own. It's fast. It's physical. And trying to just referee rebounding with all the forearms in each other's necks. And I mean, it is incredibly difficult. They don't need the hassle of trying to say, I wonder if that guy tried to trick me on that play.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. You know what's also blowing me away, Jeff? I'm watching Miami last night. I couldn't believe that I had this thought, but I'm going, you know, there's a time we're thinking the team is so stacked with LeBron and Bosch and Wade, and I watch them at times. I go, wow, I feel like they need more. And here's with, you know, three great players in this league. What's happened to Bosch and Wade? It's all LeBron right now, and which is great. But what's up with Bosch and Wade, do you think?
Well, I think Wade may be still having a lingering injury issue, but certainly he has not looked to be as aggressive offensively as we've seen in the past. And Bosch is, you know, he's so inconsistent rebounding the ball. I mean, five rebounds, and just he's not in the fight, you know, rebounding-wise as much as he needs to be for that team. And thankfully, Udonis Haslem has come up with some big games. See, Haslem is not as talented, but the one thing that you can never question about Udonis Haslem is his physical energy, his physical toughness, his mental toughness, and his basketball IQ. You're getting those every night. And so when he shoots the ball like he did the other night, then, you know, he's still a heck of a player. And that you can never have enough guys like Haslem who are just ready every single night. And to beat San Antonio in the finals, maybe James, you know, with modest output from Bosch and Wade, maybe they can still win. But I think they're going to need more, and then they're going to continue to need, you know, somebody to give them some unexpected offense.
Yeah.
Like Haslem has so far.
All right, last thing for you. Are we seeing you or your brother on a sideline next year coaching?
Oh, who knows? You know, there's so much that goes into all those decisions by teams and by coaches who may well be looking for jobs, that it's so hard to predict. One thing I can assure you, though, is I am so happy that guys I've been able to work with in my coaching career are getting opportunities. First, Tom Thibodeau, and who has been as good a coach in the first 3 years of his career as anybody has ever done in the NBA. Now Steve Clifford with Charlotte, and now Michael Malone. I mean, no one has been more blessed to coach with so many fine coaches as I was, and now Sacramento is going to benefit from Michael's true greatness and vision for basketball. I'm really excited for him, the organization, and the fan base.
Well, we're all excited, too. Thank you so much for the insight on him and the Malone family. Jeff, keep up the great work. We'll watch you in the finals, and thanks again. And hopefully, you know, if you want to get back on the sideline soon, we'll look forward to seeing you out there, too.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, Jeff.